It was the middle of the following morning when they reached the palace of the oligarchs. Once again, Taita was taken to the antechamber. There was a basin of hot water in which he refreshed himself while one of the palace servants held a clean linen towel for him. The same servant gave him a meal of spiced chicken and a bowl of red wine. Then the usher came to lead him through into the Supreme Council's chamber. With the utmost respect, the man settled him on a woolen mat at the front of the room just below the dais. Taita looked carefully about him, then concentrated on the leather screen. He could detect no trace of Eos. He relaxed and composed himself, for he expected a long wait. However, a short time later, the guards filed in and took up their positions below the dais. The usher announced the entrance of the oligarchs. "Pray show respect for the honourable lords of the Supreme Council." Taita made his obeisance, but watched the oligarchs from under his eyelashes as they filed in from behind the screen. Once again, they were led by Lord Acre. Taita was surprised that there were only two. Lord Kator was missing. Acre and his companion seated themselves on their stools and left the third unoccupied. Acre smiled. "You are welcome. Please be at ease, Magus. You are among your peers." Taita was surprised by this, but tried not to show it. He straightened and leant back against the cushions. "You are gracious, Lord Acre," he said. Acre smiled again, then addressed the usher and the commander of the palace guards. "We wish to be alone. Please leave us, and do not return until you are summoned. Make certain that no stranger listens at the doors." The guards thumped the butts of their spears upon the floor, then filed out. The usher followed them, walking backwards with his whole body doubled over in a low bow. As soon as they had gone and the great doors were closed, Acre spoke again. "At our last meeting I did not formally introduce you to the noble Lord Ektang." Taita and the councillor exchanged a seated bow. Ektang was a short, portly man of indeterminate age and Asiatic features. His eyes were coal-black and inscrutable. Lord Acre went on. "We have excellent reports from the surgeons of the Cloud Gardens. We have been told that the operation on Colonel Cambyses' eye was a complete success." "It was an amazing achievement," Taita agreed. "He has regained the full sight of the eye. Not only that, but the organ is completely natural in appearance. It cannot be differentiated from its twin in any way. Our surgeons are the most advanced on Earth. But their greatest achievement is yet to come," Acre told him. Taita inclined his head in inquiry, but remained silent. "We shall return to that later," said Acre, with a mysterious air, evidently designed to intrigue Taita. Then, abruptly, he changed the subject. "You will notice that Lord Kator is not here," he said. "Indeed, my lord, I was surprised by his absence. He was an old man, and wearied by the weight of years. Tragically, he passed away in his sleep 10 days ago. His end was peaceful and without suffering." "We should all be so fortunate," said Taita. "But I mourn his passing with you." "You are a man of compassion," said Acre. "But the fact remains that there is now an empty seat on the Supreme Council. We have conferred at length and prayed most earnestly for guidance from the one true goddess whose name will soon be disclosed to you." Taita bowed in acknowledgement of this favour. Acre went on. "We have reached the conclusion that one man is eminently suited for election to the council in Lord Kator's place. That man is you, Taita of Galala." Again Taita bowed, but this time he was truly speechless. Acre continued genially, "It is the decree of the Supreme Council that you are to be ennobled with the title Lord Taita." Again Taita bowed. "There is, however, one impediment to your election. It is customary for members of the council to be whole and healthy. You, Lord Taita, through no fault of your own, have suffered a grievous injury that disqualifies you from this position. However, that need not be final. Your protégé, Colonel Cambyses, was sent to the Cloud Gardens for treatment, but not on the merits of his case. Access to these extraordinary procedures is usually reserved for the most worthy members of our society. It is difficult to place a value on the immense cost of the treatments. You will learn more of this later. Officers of low or intermediate military rank do not usually qualify. Cambyses was chosen to convince you of the possibilities that exist. Without this demonstration, you would certainly have been sceptical, and would most likely have declined to participate.
What you say is indubitably true. However, I am glad for the sake of Meron Cambyses that he was chosen.
As are we all, Acre agreed unconvincingly. That is no longer relevant. What is, though, is that you have been examined by the surgeons, and, as a nobleman and elected member of the Supreme Council, you are entitled to preferential treatment. The surgeons of the Cloud Gardens have been warned of your imminent arrival. Their preparations to receive you are well advanced, which accounts for the delay in informing you. It takes time to make such preparations, but now the seeds have been harvested. The surgeons await your arrival. Are you prepared to take the opportunity that you are offered?
Taita closed his eyes and pressed his fingertips into his eyelids while he thought. Our entire enterprise depends upon this, he reminded himself. There is no other way in which I can get within striking range of Eos. However, the board is laid out in the witch's favour. My chances of success are as thin as a silken thread. The end cannot be foreseen, but must be taken at hazard. The only certainty is that all is steeped in the poison of the witch. Therefore, it will be not only evil, but surpassing perilous.
He massaged his eyes closed as he wrestled with his conscience.
Am I justifying a baser motive? If I do this thing, will it be for Pharaoh and Egypt? Or for Taita, the man, and his own selfish desires? He asked of himself with cruel self-appraisal. Then he replied with equally cruel honesty, "For both. It will be for the truth against the lie, but it will also be for myself and Fen. I long to know what it is to be a full man. I long for the power to love her with a passion that threatens to consume my very soul."
He lowered his hands and opened his eyes.
"I am ready," he said.
"It was wise of you to consider your reply so carefully, but I am pleased with your decision. You will be our honoured guest at our palace for this night. In the morning you will commence your journey up the mountain and into a new life."